Hallelujah. Sometimes just encouraging, just a testimony. Because what we're really doing is we're really, the testimony is really, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and what? And they what? Hallelujah. They loved not their life unto death, because that testimony became a living evidence. Living evidence. They were. You know, we, I didn't do this till after I retired because I really never had the time, but now I kind of take care of my, and you may be offended, and I don't want to offend you, but please don't take an offense, but take care of my mama's graves and my grandpa's graves and my grandma's graves and my great-grandma's graves. And we kind of do that for respect of our heritage. And although some may not fully understand, I thank God I got a heritage. I thank God for those that have given their life so that I might have a life. Pretty cool. And so, even though some of them I only know through witnessing from my mom and that, yet I respect and love them. See, how can you do that? Because we're not our own, and you just didn't come from nothing. You did not develop out of some cell, some single cell someplace, and then through evolution eventually became who you are. But you've been birthed. You've been brought into the earth by God. You have not been without purpose, and you aren't running around without a purpose. You haven't been created without purpose. You didn't come out of mama's womb without purpose. But he had purposed you before you were even created, before you were even born. Said he called you by name. And that's why names are so important when you give your children names. You should think on them, and you should study the names out and pray about it and see how God would lead you to call, what to call your sons and your daughters. Just some little simple things that may seem to be insignificant or of little importance becomes of a great importance, because many times man made a mistake and then God renamed his kids. And guess what? He's renaming you. Hallelujah. And he's renaming me. And he's taking us from the external into the eternal. He's taking us from the corrupt into the incorruptible state. Hallelujah. And that should be first incorruptible and then immortal. See, once you become incorruptible, immortality is there. And what body it takes is really insignificant. If it's a spiritual body or a fleshly body, it's insignificant there, because now it's been established forever as eternal. We went to Greenfield Village, and haven't been there in a long time, but we went to the village, and because I'm a hands-on guy and I like engineering and stuff like that, we walked around and I said, look at this, a handful of men from Michigan changed the world. Totally. Totally. Absolutely. Can anybody say amen? It's true. Henry Ford, Detroit Edison, the Wright brothers. They brought the whole world together. Now, it was God in them. We know that. But you realize that God always uses men and women on the earth to do his purpose? That's been the revelation that was hid, is that this man, this woman that he created would be and act and bring in what God had desired for them beyond their wildest imaginations. And had not it been for these three groups of men, and there was many around them, Hines was another one, and in advertising, in how to bring it forth. You don't do anything on your own, beloved. You have to be joined to one to another. And out of Ford, it was a dream. But when he talked to his friend Addison, he said, I can see the dream. And this country is established in Christ. This country's very birthplace, its very birthing, was to be come out of the oppression of religious idolatry and be brought into a freedom of Christian ethics. And it was always established in one thing. How many of you pray every day? How many of you read your Bible every day? You need to, even if it's a scripture. And every time, you think it just happened, but every time they started to not become a country, there was a man or a woman that would get up and challenge them that we must pray and get God's mind before we make these decisions. And they established that before every congressional and every senator, every Senate meeting, that they would pray before the God who created the heavens and the earth. And today they want to lose that. They want to loosen our grip on that. If we do, you will loosen God's blessing. You will make the wrong decisions. And I'm talking about the country. The country will make the wrong decisions. And the people will mourn. But so we need to stand up for what is God. And guess what? It's going to be the people that stand up for God's right. For God's right to be in the people. He will not just come and force His way. He has given us His way. And as we submit, in every way we submit to, His way is in us. Every way we submit to His way, that way is in us that we submit to. Be of good courage. Be encouraged. Because you see, there's times when we forget. There's times when we just flat don't do it. There's times when we refuse to do it. But God is faithful. And He speaks to our hearts. And when He does, then there's an enabling force. And so, when shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? Isn't this a wonderful topic? Now let's go to the slides, honey. Hallelujah. Let's go to the second slide, because that's where we were last week, and we're going to spend a little more time on this. In Daniel 3, in Daniel 12 and 3, those that be wise. And so, and this is all a part of becoming a son of God, is to be a wise person, to be wise in your approach to the Lord. And in this we find that, and we went through the scriptures on how to be wise, and we'll just look at Daniel 12 and 3, and I gave you a list of them, and hopefully you took them down, because I'm not going to do all that for you. You can do it as I give it to you. If you go to Daniel 12 and 3, and we'll just look at it quickly, and I just want to take that to you, and then I want to bring you to the next step of being wise in Ezekiel. Let's see. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. You see, how do you turn people to righteousness? Just being right. Does that mean that they were wrong? Could it mean that they would be wrong? Let me hear it. Absolutely. So, it's not a negative thing. How many of you have ever done something for a long, long time and it never really worked out right? You done that? Did you get used to doing that and just kind of like that and say, well, that's the way it's going to be for you my whole life? Sometimes. Isn't that true? Sometimes people get happy. Sometimes they make an excuse and say, well, that's just the way I am. But what happens when a right situation has been encountered in your life and now you see that you don't have to be like that? What do you do then? Well, I can choose. Yeah, you can. Now you're going to choose between what's right and what's wrong. Right? Come on, because that's the truth. So then, the wise, it's not something that you have to do, but you need to live righteous so that other people can see it and be the example, so that when they're ready to be right, they'll come to you. Uh-oh. Well, I thought God was going to do all this. He is. But He does it through people on the earth. Now, He does supernatural stuff. But it's all in His creation. It's all in His people. This Bible was not written for any other purpose. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. He's given us the written constitutional rights in which to receive an incorruptible and an immortal life now and forever. Somebody say amen. So we looked at that, and that took us to bring up the number 4 slide, honey. Glory to God. And we will look at that. And we went through this last week. Hallelujah. And Job 19:25, and if we'll turn to that one. Glory to God. Are you with me? Are you happy? Glory to God. It is only God's purpose that we become like Him, so that heaven comes down on earth in you. Now you see, we have a problem with that sometimes. We're not going to be God per se, but we are going to be little gods. Or we're going to be sons of God. And if you're a son of God, you're going to be a little god. Meaning that there are things that you're going to know, and there's things that you're going to be able to do that He would do. Fact is, if you can believe it enough, that He would do, that you would do just exactly what He would do. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And praise the Lord. And so even in, they didn't just come up with this, that the Lord is going to stand here. He came and He did this. He stood on the earth. Hallelujah. And we're in the we've been in the last days since He came and presented Himself. And now we're finding out that He's coming in us now, and that He is yet to come. We have more to look forward to. Hallelujah. And that His comings are becoming more clear to us, that everything He does in us that is from God, that now we not only know about, not only pray about, not only think about, but now that we walk into, that's a part of who we are, our actions actually prove, our character actually begins to make a pronunciation of who we are, and so now we know that we are Christians and we are the sons of God. And it still doesn't yet appear what we shall be in John 3. But we see this. But when we see Him, and every time you see Him, if if he said, Jesus said, show us the Father. See? Show us the Father. He said, if you haven't seen the Father through me, you can't see the Father. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he looks like. You don't know how he acts at all. But if you look at me, you'll know and see the Father. And so that's just what he said there. And so there's an excitement. Aren't you excited that he's going to come more today than he did yesterday? Aren't you excited that you're going to become closer and get to know him even more and with more intense than you did yesterday? Hallelujah. Because you're growing up. You see, and as long as we're children, we just want Daddy to give us everything. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Take us to Highland Hall, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. You know, I've taken you all day long. You want me to take you to Highland Hall, too? No, he didn't say that. He's really good about that. Oh, Daddy. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And we do that. But in the midst of it, there are things that you've been developed in Christ. There are things you know. There's character changes that are allowing you, hallelujah, to go beyond your limitations. And now there's been an addition in your life that God has put there. And it is eternal. It is forever eternal. I'm totally convinced of that. So be convinced of that. Be encouraged of that. Hallelujah. But there's more. Hallelujah. So we dealt with a series of scriptures pertaining to that. And so today, hallelujah, we are going to go to Ezekiel 37. And this one is going to get you. I'm praying that, I don't know, we'll see where we go with this. It's probably going to take me a couple of weeks on this one. I get so excited about it. Do you ever get excited about the Word of God? I'm excited about it all the time because, you know, as much as I might think I know, because I know what I know, when I approach it again, I find out that I miss things. You ever do that? If you'll become familiar with enough things, even if, you know, like mechanics, once you know the function, we looked at a four-cylinder Model T Ford yesterday. Stripped down, Walter. Stripped down block. Hallelujah. Mechanically, they're still the same. Pistons, push rods, valves. Those parts have been stable for all of our different machinery functions. But you know, if one of those parts aren't working now, they've got these little electronic devices that now have taken and made them run smoother and made them run more evenly. But because you know the basic foundation, it won't take you long to know how these little electronic probes help the engine. Will you? Once you know it. No. Same way in our lives, beloved. If we'll stop trying to fine-tune everybody and try to get them to be the part that we are, and we listen to them with the attitude of listening close enough to hear where they are, then if you have that upgraded knowledge, it will only take just a little word of wisdom that we'll be able now to make a better connection. Less stress, less load, less everything. And now you've just been upgraded. We need to be upgraded, beloved. And in these last days, God's going to really upgrade us quickly. We're going to stop tending with flesh and blood and carnality of thought. Listen, I'll tell you what. Those men they were believers, hallelujah, but they didn't know anything about the sons of God, but they did know this. They had a vision, they had a dream, and they found out that if they worked together, and believe me, they gave their money to one another. They supported one another to make sure that this dream came true. They dropped what they were and gave everything they had to them. Come on, church. Come on. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. As we drop everything that we are and we focus in on Him, glory to God, and we give what we have in whatever areas that is necessary, glory to God, we will see this body of Christ developed in this house like you have never seen. And you won't be nitpicking one another's lives out and trying to fine-tune character, glory to God. You'll be able to know how to identify and then implant those upgrades. Now, this is what he's doing here. So now we're being wise, and this is the topic here, is that they be wise, glory to God. And so I've been running a series. Went through Job being wise, and now Ezekiel. And Israel was in the same state. And let's just read it first, and then we will go. Well, I'll read the first five or six verses, and then we'll go. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and it carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now let's go back up to number one. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Glory to God. Because as we go down, we're going to see that down in the chapter that the dry bones was the nation called Israel. I'm telling you, the church is in that state. They are. Now listen. Have you ever been carried up in the Spirit? Because I'll tell you what, the church is going to do a whole lot more than it's ever done. And it's going to take on the responsibility that it's supposed to take on from the beginning. Hallelujah. And the body, there'll be much to do. And you won't be able to just sit on revelation anymore. If you can't produce it, you'll sit until you can. Or you'll get to somebody that will take and give you what you're missing. So that it works, because God has purposed this. He has never forsaken the church. When I'm saying they got dry bones, they're still alive. They're just all dry. We went through a whole, the temple has been raised up of praise and worship in this country, in the church. And do you know where it is today? Much of it is outside the church now. Because it's not worth paying for. Don't help me go there. This is going to change. Hallelujah. Things are going to change, beloved. Hallelujah. And so he was caught up. And you know, how many have been caught up? Ever been caught up? Now, I've been caught up in my mind, but I've never been physically caught up. I get caught up in the Spirit in Revelation, but I'm going to tell you something. I haven't been caught up like this guy. Number two. So we find it with a valley of dry bones. And he caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, there were very many in open valleys. And lo, they were very dry. Do you know what that is? There's a whole lot of people aren't even in church now. They're in the valley that they were birthed in, and they never went out. My God. Do you hear the word of the Lord? God's got a plan. God's got a plan. That's what he's telling them. Because I'll tell you what. There's a connecting that God's going to do. I believe he's starting it now. But God's going to connect his people back together. Okay, go to three. Because this is the question that was asked. Hallelujah. Mackenzie? And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, thou knowest. Now, you know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Isn't that pretty cool? Huh? Well, what do you think you would say if you were Ezekiel and you were before the church today? As a whole now. And you have a few of these mega pockets and that's it. And you got literally, I'm just going to be realistic with you. Talking about the majority of the little churches. Way over succeed the mega churches, and then the people who don't go to church at all are Christians. Think you can be a Christian and go to church? Yeah. So again, not connected together, disassembled. God's people will not be disassembled. He never had them disassembled. They disassembled their self. He always had the feast days so that they would come from all the regions around and be focused in one God, under one nation, under one God, not another. And that this God was the God that would supply all their needs. There would be nothing that he couldn't do. Hallelujah. So we'll look at that a little bit. I want to give you some reference to that because it's pretty cool. And just show you Hallelujah. A little bit about that. In 2 it says, and he caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, they were very many in an open valley. And lo, they were very dry. It didn't mean they were dead. It meant that go to John 6. Five and six. Honey? No, John. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he saw the great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Go to the next one. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see, he puts us in these situations that are impossible for us to comprehend and an inability to take and meet the need. But yet, Jesus lives inside of you. He's right there inside of you. And I'll have to admit, there's been times I just walk away from a situation rather than get into it. Sometimes that's wisdom. But not if he asks you the question, what are you going to do? Because when that's the case, you have the answer. Jesus lives inside of you. And I guarantee you that the answer is right there before you and you will see it and receive it. Give me one more. Verse 7. And Philip answered him, 200 pence worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may eat a little. We just want to stop there. Hallelujah. What in the world are you going to do with these dry bones? Ezekiel. How many heard Al's testimony? Do you believe him? Do you believe in Al? Do you believe he's speaking you the truth? Do you believe that only Al can experience this? Do you believe that maybe it's possible that some of the situations that you've been in and that you are in is actually ordered up by God so that God might come in that situation and bring a resolve there through you? That God, actually God's result will come through you? Now, when we become mature sons, this is what we do. Daddy? Hey, Dad! Now, please listen to me. Hey, Dad, I want to take you to the Highland House. Now, listen to this. Now, please don't take me wrong. I'm just showing you the difference between being a child and not being any less a son than growing up to the place where I got a little money in my pocket now. I've earned a little bit of money for myself. And now, hallelujah, I'm going to become what Daddy is. I'm going to become the provider. Jesus, can you hear me? Because, you see, when you get to that place, hallelujah, glory to God, abundance will begin to flow outside of you. You see, an abundance will begin to take a hold of you. Glory to God. And you'll know how Daddy feels. Because no less challenged. Once again, Jesus ask his disciple. Once again, how come you think he did that? Because he wanted to show him, this is what you have here in your midst. This is who I am. Al, this is what God is inside of you. He meets the impossible task. He does the impossible things. Glory to God. He can create. Glory to God. If it's necessary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he is going to use you. Mighty God. Hallelujah. I mean, this, you should be on your tiptoes. Glory to God. I'm not talking about you manufacturing things. I'm talking about you now living as a son. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God. You're not yet fully developed, but glory to God. You now have grown up to the point where you can do some things knowingly that they are, you have the power to do them by God. And every gift that you become proficient in, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that He will empower you and you will increase in your abilities. Because the greater still lives inside of you, the greater will still come to your rescue. The greater will still have the impossible inside of you. Glory to God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Deuteronomy 32:29, oh, that we were wise and that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, there's so much in me. Are you praying for me? That I'd be able to do this without and get you to understand it. Every one of the patriarchs, even though they knew that they would die in the body, never believed that they were going to stay dead in the body. That's why they never cremated themselves. They said, take my bones back. You've sinned and you're going to be separated from God, but not forever. Please hear this. My God. He is not ever going to divorce Israel. Israel is not divorced. They will continue to hold their place. They just are not in it right now. But those that are in it, hallelujah, they're going to take their bones back. Now you put it right there. When you get out of Egypt again, you bring my bones back. You got to swear to me you're going to do that. Why? Because they knew that life was beyond even the very flesh and bone body that they have. Hallelujah. And that they had a promise and they were going to make sure that they were back into their proper place. Now, I know that's hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to fathom, hard to reason sometimes with the carnal mind. But I got to tell you something. As God lives inside of you and His eternal purpose continually works in you, you will go way past this carnality and you'll bring the carnal into that which is subject unto eternal life and incorruption. And that incorruption, hallelujah, is eternal and it will not fail you. God is not abandoning his kids because they made a mistake. Hallelujah. He's just going to bring them and keep bringing them until. So you need to consider that your latter end, hallelujah, that it be in Christ. You need to determine that. And in hallelujah. And then we go along on this journey. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 26 and 8. Look at this. Mighty God. Take a look at this scripture. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? What would you think? Why should it be incredible? Why should you think it'd be have a thought that it would be incredible that God would raise the dead? You see, I want you to grab a hold of this vision of eternity in Christ, in you. Hallelujah. How valuable. What a substance it is. And that circumstance does not control this thing. That is faith driven, and faith will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. Is this helping you? Go to Romans 4 and 17. Oh, I love this. Whew. Glory to God. I'm just trying to give you more scripture. Hallelujah. And that is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. And we know that was speaking about Abraham. If you went up a few verses, you'd see that. Before him whom he believed, even God, who what? Quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We were going through Greenfield Village, and I was looking at that first plane. My goodness. They went 800 feet, and they thought that was a miracle. And it was. For man, at that time. It was. But through the process of trial and tribulation, and adding, hallelujah, they were able to now go into the universe. Pretty cool, huh? That hasn't been that long ago. Just a couple hundred years. That ain't been that long ago. Remember what Al was saying? He didn't know I was going to say this. That's why you need to testify. When it's the impossible thing set before us and there's no way we could comprehend how God could do a thing and just what He'll do, all He wants you and all I'm telling you is to become available. To the challenge. And watch and see what God will do. You have to own what you know. It's not good enough to quote it. It's not good enough to just know about it. It's not good enough to look at it for you and me. But to live it. To live in it. In whatever expression it might be, it becomes a life that goes into the very improbable and impossible situations. And it starts out by you speaking to it, you owning it. If I'm learning anything about divine healing, you hear me? About divine health. You hear me? you got to speak it forth. If you want it, you're going to have to speak it forth. Because you will have what you want or what you succumb to. Absolutely. Take a look at history and its making. And we'll see that they haven't stopped developing vehicles. One of the things was, oh Lord Jesus, just help. I'm going to finish this a little bit and then I'll share that with you. Glory to God. Let's go to Hebrews. I want to do more, but I just give you a few. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Mighty God. Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you encouraged? Are you challenged? I pray that you are. Hallelujah. And that you're realizing that we're on a road here of success. We're in a place of developing. We're going from children to sons. Some places we're a son, some places we're still a child. Understand that? But we're stepping up to the challenge. And every challenge, you see, everything that you refuse to do, that you've seen your daddy do, you're still a child. But when you ask, Daddy, let me do it. I think I can. You see, I've studied it well enough. I've looked at it well enough. I just need the experience here. I need some practice on this thing. Because you see, with Daddy there, he's already done it. And he'll be there to help you if you can. But in the help, he will actually do it. He will help you get it done. You'll see. Might be all right to be partially healed, but I'm under the impression that you can be fully healed 100%. Now, faith? No, honey, not one. I'm sorry. I didn't give you a 19. Hallelujah. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Now go up, go up to about 18. Let me, because we know who we're talking about here, don't you? Don't you know who you're talking about here? Of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we know who he's talking about. Talking about Abraham. Okay? And so, you see, God in type has brought the picture to us time and time again where a father will have such a faith that he will do the absolutely impossible requirement of giving his own son as a sacrifice unto God. His only chosen son. Now go to 19, honey. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, but one more. Now, we're talking about having the impossible done. But by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. If you want a good study sometime, how many like to study? I like to study. How many really want to know things? If you want to know things, you're going to have to study them. Just to read them through and even to quote them by verbatim and even to be able to read a schematic and everything. If you have to get the job done, you're going to find out that you're going to have to take it out more than once and go over it more than once to get it the understanding of the principle, all the principles for that function or for that particular schematic. And the more you study it and do it, the greater what? Is your ability to do it. And the more you study the word of the Lord and want to really get to know it, and I'm a practical person. When I go after something, I go after it to do it. I don't go after it to know it only. I go after it to know it far beyond just the ability to talk about it. But I go after it so that when I get through with my learning, I will be able to do it. That's the requirement of the Christians today. I'm sorry to tell you, we know we're in Christ. How many of you know you're in Christ? How many know that you're eternal? That's for sure. You need to know that. You will not lose that. You are eternal. I won't even go there because that's a flip side too. The first thing you have to do is know that you are eternal. And so he wants us to be God eternal. He wants us to be in Christ. He wants us to be God eternal. And so as we learn these things together, hallelujah, he will establish us in his kingdom for such a time as this. And believe me, we need everyone here online. We need everyone here, 100%. Hallelujah. You can see that right now. Bring in some people. Hallelujah. Let them know that we're going to love you. We're not going to judge you. We're going to love you. And in the process of it, we'll all be learning together. And just as the Wright brothers and Henry Ford and Detroit Edison and many, 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 many others are now sharing their wealth and sharing their faith in their fellow man and in God, because everything you see has scriptures. They were driven by the word. Their faith came by the word. Well, Danny, they did this. No. We're not even going there. That's what happened to the church. Are we supposed to forgive one another? Huh? Oh, not about everything, Danny. Not about everything. Are we? About everything. Oh, how many times? 7? 70? I'm for the church. I'm for them valley of dry bones. We just opened that up. We'll get back into it next week. Hallelujah. He's going to put sinew on them. That's tendons to move the bones. And then as they're all joined back together again, hallelujah, because they have to live to be that much, then he's going to put the breath of life in them again. The breath of life, soul, body, and spirit, I guarantee you. The church has the answer. The people in the church are the answer. And they're varied in their expression of experience and revelation. But they are the answer. And they're going to come forth. And so we need to prophesy. And so we just saw one thing. Can these live? Next week we'll work on prophesying to these dry bones. Prophesying, speaking eternal life in them. Now, you see, because when he raised them up this time, the intent was for eternal life.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.